So let's jump into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. As you know, we're going through the Gospel of Luke on Sunday mornings, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. We're also in the book of Exodus. We're almost bringing that book to a close, and we'll go right into Leviticus and just going through the Word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, leaving no stone unturned. And Father, we are so grateful for all that you have done for us and all that you're doing in our midst. And so, Lord, open up our hearts with and give us a timely word that we need to hear today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Luke 15, the title of this message is Hope for the Lost. Hope for the Lost. Hope, by way of definition, is the exceeding expectation of coming good. And there is nothing like hope when you have lost something. The hope you have when you have lost a child in a store and you find out that they're in the lost and found department. The hope you have when you heard that your spouse had your keys when you thought that they were lost. Or the one I love the most, the hope you have when you have heard that Jesus Christ can forgive you of all of your sins, past, present, and future, when you repent and surrender your life to Him. Hey, that's hope for somebody today. That no matter what you have done, He can forgive you of all of your sin. And in this chapter, we're going to study three things that were lost but found. Number one, the lost sheep. The lost sheep in verses 1-7. The lost sheep. Number two, the lost coin. The lost coin in verses 8-10. And finally, number three, the lost son in verses 11-32. All right, let's dive right in. Look at verses 1-7. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until it is found? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' And I say to you that likewise there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance." So we're looking at number one, the lost sheep. The first thing I want to draw to your attention is the attractiveness of Jesus in verses 1-2. Lost people love to be around Jesus. It was the religious people, the Pharisees and scribes, that had a problem with him. They couldn't believe that he would hang out with lost people and had the audacity to eat with them. See, in this particular culture, they believed that a mystical oneness took place when you ate with a person. See, in that time, they will have a loaf of bread there with a sauce, a dish with some sauce in it. You will pull off a piece of bread, dip it in the sauce. You will eat it. They will pull off a piece of that loaf, dip it in sauce, and they will eat it. And the same loaf of bread that is sustaining your body is sustaining their body, and thus you become one. This is why the religious leaders would never eat with someone who was considered a sinner, because they wouldn't want to be one with the sinner. So this is why they were blown away that Jesus will dare even eat with them. And the amazing thing is that they love to be around him. They love to be around Jesus. My question is, do people like to be around you? Or are you so holy and spiritual that they don't want to come anywhere near you? And you think it's because of your spirituality. Too often it's because we're obnoxious, we're cocky and arrogant, that people don't want to be around us. But Jesus was different. They wanted to be around him because he had a message of hope for them. And too often we have a message of doom for people, always pointing out their wrongdoings and faults. But people wanted to be around Jesus because he gave them hope. Any church or any ministry that gives people hope will be a church and a ministry that is packed out. Because people want hope. They want to know that there's more to this sorry life we're living in. They want to know that there's hope beyond this life. And Jesus gave people hope. So wherever Jesus is exalted and lifted up, wherever Jesus is, his name is proclaimed and his word is declared, the place will be packed out because people want hope. The second thing I want to bring to your attention is that the shepherd cares so much for his sheep, singular, that he left the 99 to go after the one. Now, see, he didn't leave the 99 by themselves because at night all the shepherds would come together and help watch each other's flock. What happened is that this sheep wandered off. Now, sheep are not the smartest animals. To be honest with you, they're kind of dumb. And this is why they needed a shepherd. And out of all the animals on the earth to compare us to, which animal does the Bible say we're most like? No, not the monkeys and the apes and gorillas. No, but the sheep. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. To prove what the Bible is saying is true, how many of you have done some dumb things before? How many of you have made some dumb decisions in your life? And don't look at the person next to you. And I know that there are some of you here. I know there are some of you here who have gone astray. If you have not gone astray outwardly, you've gone astray in your heart. It reminds me of the Israelites in Acts 7 verse 39 where it says, in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. See, before a person goes astray outwardly, they first go astray in their hearts. One sign that shows that you are going astray in your heart is spiritual things like Bible reading and prayer and church just doesn't appeal to you anymore or like it used to. Other things are now important, like a girlfriend, boyfriend, a career, or some new hobby has now captured your heart. So you may not have gone astray outwardly, but maybe in your heart, you have turned to your own way. One of the sayings of people who have turned to their own way is this, and maybe you have uttered this from your own lips. Hey, I just got to do me now. You know, it's been about the kids and about the husband. It's been about them. Now it's going to be about me. Oh, just know when you begin to talk like that, you have turned aside to your own way. The good thing about that is that there is hope for you today because the good shepherd Jesus Christ is coming after you. He has to come after us because if he left it up to us to come back, we wouldn't. Jesus, our good shepherd, comes after us through our conscience, convicting us of wrongdoing, messages at church, or on TV or the radio. He comes after us through coworkers, family members, and friends saying things like, don't you normally go to church today? Or I haven't seen you read your Bible in a long time. Or aren't you a Christian? So why are you doing that? And when you come home to God, either for the first time or coming back to God, verse 7 says that there is more joy in heaven over us coming back to God than over 99 people who stayed faithful to the Lord. Do you need to come back to God today? He is coming after you through this message. He's coming after you. No matter what you've done, he's coming after you today through this message. And that's why God brought you here today, because he's coming after you. He's coming after you big time through this message. So that is number one, the lost sheep. Number two is in verses 8-10. Look what it says there. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was I lost. Likewise, I say to you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Looking at number two, the lost coin. The sheep was lost because of foolishness. The coin is lost because of carelessness. To help us understand the implication of this story, see, when a Jewish girl got married, she would string silver coins together to wear around her head to signify that she was now married. It would take a long time to collect these coins, so to lose one was a big deal. Ladies, it's like losing the diamond out of your wedding ring. But what does this woman do? According to verse 8, she lights a lamp and seeks diligently until she finds it. And so too the Lord will do the same thing for us. He will light the lamp of his word, like Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he will light a lamp until we are found. And this shows me that the Lord is not going to give up on us until we come back home to him. Also remember that this coin was lost because of carelessness. Let us not allow the carelessness of our lifestyle, or the carelessness of our language, or the carelessness of the places we go to stumble other people and cause them to remain lost. I've seen this so many times. We're just careless by the way we live. We're careless by the words we allow to come out of our mouth. We're careless by the places we go. And we wonder why those who are lost remain lost, because they're looking for us to guide them to Jesus Christ. And we're careless by the way we live and what we say and the places we go. We're careless by, and they remain lost. I've heard many people say, you know what? I would have come to Christ a long time ago, but that guy who says he's a Christian on my job, I tell you, you should hear him talk. You should see the things that he does. You should see the places that he go. And so if I said that that's a Christian, I want no parts of it. And I wonder how many people remain lost because of our carelessness in the way that we talk and live. So we study, number one, the lost sheep. Number two, the lost coin. Now, number three, the lost son. Look at verses 11 and 12. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Now, the sheep was lost because of foolishness. The coin was lost because of carelessness. And the son was lost because of rebelliousness. This story is commonly called the prodigal son. The word prodigal means wasteful. And the prodigal son wasted his father's inheritance. And so too, I believe that there are many people, even right now, wasting your life away like this kid is doing here. The prodigal son's mentality is to say to his father, give me the goods. I want the goods from you instead of a relationship with you. Ladies, 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 oh, beware of men like this who want the goods from you instead of a relationship with you. They only want sex from you. They only come around for the goods. Then you don't see them anymore because they just wanted the goods from you instead of a relationship with you. Beware of such men. Now, in this particular culture, and according to Jewish law, when a man dies, two-thirds of what he owns will go to the eldest son and one-third to the youngest son. So it was an insult that the youngest son would ask for his inheritance while his father was still alive. You know what he was saying? What he was saying, in essence, was this. He was saying, I wish you were dead. Because when you die, I get this money. Therefore, you're still alive when you're dying. So give it to me right now. I can't wait for you to die. That's what he was saying. In essence, I wish you were dead. Look at verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now, some of you have children who have done this. And I believe that this story teaches us how to deal with them. So pay attention, parents. Especially you moms, Pay attention, because this is going to give us some tremendous wisdom when our children decide they're going to be prodigal sons and daughters. It's going to show us how to deal with them biblically, the way Jesus would. So don't get in your feelings, mothers, because you're going to see yourself in this story. And it's given us some great wisdom. If we follow it, oh, we'll see those prodigal sons and daughters come back home, humble. I'm getting ahead. Look at verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Notice how this verse says, after he spent everything, that we don't read about the father sending him money through Western Union or wire transfer. No, he let the money run out. Notice how we don't read about the mother in this story. Why is that? Because she's too ticked off at the father for letting her baby stay out there with nothing. That's why she's just quiet. She's mad. Head, smoke coming from her head. Notice how this verse teaches us that material things and money are so temporary. They're here 1 minute and gone the next. It reminds me of what Proverbs 23 verse 5 says. It says, riches certainly make for themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. Look at verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, this was a forbidden trade for a Jew because pigs were considered unclean. And a person who is in a prodigal condition will find themselves doing things that are considered unclean in the Bible. And maybe you hear, and I just described you. The way that you know that you are a prodigal son or daughter is to look at your life. Are you doing or watching things that are considered unclean in the Bible? If so, then you are in a prodigal condition. Oh, look at verses 16 and 17. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now, I want you to notice when he came to himself, when he hit rock bottom. Too often we as parents interfere with what God is trying to do in the lives of our children, and they never learn the lesson that God is trying to teach them. They never hit rock bottom. This is why they never come to themselves, because we as parents, we interfere. This father allowed his son to hit rock bottom and come to himself, and it was a good thing. Oh, I love how we see it's the father handling this kind of thing. Oh, the importance of us as fathers, what we mean to a home. It was the father dealing with this. You better believe this would be a totally different story if the mother was handling this. Totally different. Totally different. There wouldn't be no hitting rock bottom. We know that. This son said, I need to come back home to my father's house. If this father was like us today, that son would have never came back home. He would have never come back home, because we would have been sending him money, paying his rent, paying his cell phone bill, car payment, buying groceries. He would have never come back home. Now, I can hear some parents say, well, I do this because I don't want him to come back home. But see, you have to understand. Keep in mind the implication is that he left home prematurely, before he was ready to leave. So he had to learn some hard lessons. And this father allowed his son to learn those lessons. There are some lessons that boys need to learn. Oh, they need to learn. I tell you, some valuable boys, because see, One day they're going to grow up and take care of a family. And so there are some lessons that they need to learn. The school of hard knocks. They need to know what it is, because see, then they'll know how to scramble and scrape when their family is struggling and going through some things. Because growing up, there was a father that allowed him to hit rock bottom and say, wife, stay out of it. Stay out of it. And we know y'all sneak around the back and just, here you go, baby. Interfering. That's why this would be a different story if the mother was taking care of this. Oh, it would have been no rock bottom. And that boy would have never came back home either. He would have never come to himself. But this father was dealing with him. And I'm glad to see this father was dealing with him. Look at verses 18 and 19. I will arise and go, he said, to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now, notice how the prodigal son said in verse 18 that he sinned against heaven and then against his father. Why? Because sin is always first against God, then people. Joseph said a similar thing when Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes upon him. He said in Genesis 39 verse 9, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? David said the same thing when he committed adultery with Bathsheba in Psalm 51 verse 4. He says, against you and you only have I sinned and done this wickedness in your sight. Sin is always first against God, and the prodigal son realized this. Do you remember how he said in verse 12, give me the goods? Now he is saying in verse 19, make me one of your servants. This is a sign of brokenness. This is a sign of humility. This is a sign of real maturity. What is your prayer life? What is your prayer life like? Are you like the prodigal son in verse 12? God, give me the goods. And every time you go to God, you're trying to name and claim the goods for yourself. Or are you praying, make me one of your servants? Lord, make me a better servant for you. Your answer to this question will show whether you are a prodigal or not. See, true repentance is more than just admitting that you have sinned. It's coming back home that shows that you have truly repented. It's one thing to say, you know, I've done wrong, and you stay and you keep doing you. You keep living a wasteful life, a prodigal life. A sign that you truly repented is you come back home. You come back to God. That's a sign that you've truly repented. Not that you stay out there. No, you come back home to the Lord. That's the sign that you've truly repented. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This father gives us some insights into the heart of our heavenly father. Notice how the father saw the son from afar off and ran towards him. You have to understand, in this particular culture, it was considered undignified for a father to run to his son. But this father didn't care about his reputation or how he looked in the eyes of other people. His son was coming home. The father seeing his son from afar shows that this father probably went out each day looking for him. Each day he probably went out wishing, hoping, praying that today will be the day that his son comes back home. And I believe our Heavenly Father is the same way towards us, longing for us to come back to Him. Did you notice how the Father didn't run up to His Son and chew Him out? About time you came home. You get enough of that pig slop. You know, about time you came home. Your belly should be good and full of that now. You know? No, He didn't do that. No, He loved on His Son and fell on His neck and kissed Him. As this father is giving us a picture of our Heavenly Father, did you know that this is the only place in the Bible that depicts God as being in a hurry? God is always in a hurry to forgive us. He's always in a hurry to restore us. Hey, that's good news for somebody here today. That God is always in a hurry to forgive you. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it. He's always in a hurry to forgive you and to restore you back to himself. Look at verses 21 to 24. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The son came back broken and humble and wanted his father to treat him like one of the slaves. Did the father agree with him saying, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, get on out there in the garage somewhere. You know, don't think you're going back to that room of yours. Turn that room into a workout area now. So just go on back in the garage somewhere. No, he didn't do that. No, he said in verse 22, bring the best robe in the house. Who had the best robe in the house? The father. Bring out one of my robes. Shoes on his feet. Slaves were never given shoes. Only sons were. Put a ring on his finger. The ring speaks of authority. Now he can operate in the authority of the father. He was fully restored. And when you come back to God, he will fully restore you and give you all the rights and privileges of any other child of God. See, you know why that's good news? Because so often we think, well, if I come back to God, you know, I blew it, you know. Oh, I know I'm not going to get all the blessings that everybody else is getting that didn't go astray. No. You come back to God, you get all the rights and privileges and blessings of any other child of God. See, and that's good news for somebody. Good news to hear that God doesn't treat you any differently. You've come home to him. Look at verses 25 to 32. Now this older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he said, answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What do you think would have happened to this son if he were greeted by his self-righteous older brother? Too often there are prodigals who want to come back home to the father's house, to church. But they're greeted by self-righteous Christians who feel like they can't come back. Oh, no, you decide to come on back now? You've been out there long enough, huh? No. And I wonder how many people live in a prodigal life, want to come back to the Father's house, but they're greeted by too many older brothers, like in our story. Self-righteous. You know, I ain't going astray. You know, oh, now you're going to come on back, come dragging on back now. No. I wonder what would have happened to this son. He probably would have turned around and went back out there. But thank God he was greeted by a father who was looking for him. And so to today, there's a father that's looking for you, waiting for you, longing every day you wake up and open your eyes. He's longing for you to come back to him. He's longing for you to leave that immoral relationship that you're in. He's longing for you to get things right with him. He's longing for you to come back. There's a robe he wants to put on you, the robe of righteousness. There's a ring he wants to put on your finger, shoes he wants to put on your feet so you can walk straight with him. And he's waiting with these things, waiting and longing for you to come back to him. Are you going to come back? And when they start coming back through this door, older brothers that I'm talking to, you stay out of the way. Stay out of the way. Matter of fact, you need to repent of that attitude. Repent of that. You know why you need to repent? Because we could be welcoming you back home one day. That could be you with your tail between your legs coming through the door. So you want to greet them as you would. Now, if that's you coming back, you want a band at the door for you. Party. Welcoming you. Confetti. Throwing up in the air. Well, then when prodigals come through the door, you make sure you do the same thing. You make sure you do the same thing. Let me conclude with this. Today we looked at three lost things that were found. Number one, the lost sheep. The lost sheep. Number two, the lost coin. The lost coin. Number three, the lost son. The point of the story is that there is hope for people who found themselves lost, or people who have lost their way. That there is hope. If this is you today, you saw how the Heavenly Father is longing for you to come back. And when you do, He's not going to chew you out, but He will love you back into His kingdom. Are you going to come today? Are you going to come? He's waiting with open arms for you to come back to Him. Oh, it's no coincidence that you're here today. It's no coincidence, because you can still come home even though you're here. You say, I'm here. So I haven't gone astray. Oh, but you know you've gone astray in your heart. And if that's you, you can still come back to Him. He's waiting for you with open arms. And if you're here and you have the attitude of the older brother, you need to come and repent and get that right with the Lord as well. Because that attitude is not right. It's not godly. Because you never know when we can be welcoming you back. You never know. And you want the same love that the Father is extending in this story to be shown to you. So you want to make sure that your heart is right. The worship team is going to, they're going to come up, they're going to play, and you make your way forward. There's going to be some people to pray with you about these things. You can always come home to God. No matter what, today is a new day. He woke you up, allowed for you to be here. So you can hear this message and know that there's hope for you. Hope for those who have lost their way. And He welcomes you back to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness and tender mercies, for your love, for your grace, for your forgiveness. And Lord, we pray by your Spirit, you would draw people unto you. Draw people unto you today, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anyone here who have not repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, there are those who have just lost their way. They've gotten out there. Draw them home to you. Thank you, Lord, that you welcome us back to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.